I would ask you to please turn with me to the first letter of Peter, chapter 5, and verses 6 to 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, and verses 6 to 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Our text teaches us this evening that one of the great reasons to trust in God is that he cares for his people. God's care for his people is perfect, it's patient, it's understanding, it's wise, and it is everlasting. But how do we know that God cares? How can it be said God cares when those who follow him experience tragedies and bereavements and persecutions? This is one of the great questions that we're often asked as Christians. We live in a world where there is much suffering. There are many troubles and difficulties. But this affects all people, including believers. But when a difficulty comes in the pathway of a believer, as compared with an unbeliever, there is a difference. A believer is a person who can go to God in their trouble and be sure that God cares and sympathizes with them and truly understands all that they are going through. He comforts his people through his word and through other believers who perhaps gone through a like experience. And the care spoken of here of our Lord is that which relates to our soul in particular. It relates to the innermost part of our being, the eternal part, our soul, which has an eternal destiny. And when we trust in the Lord, we know that he absolutely cares for our eternal destiny. And so it is that he cares in the events of life to ensure that all things, even the difficult things, are working together for good to those that love God, to conform us into the image of Christ, to prepare us for glory. So in our text, we are encouraged to cast all our care upon him. And you know, in the original, this word casting, it literally means, as it were, jumping in, and I speak this reverently, jumping into the arms of God, in that he might take full hold of us and our lives. It means a total consecration into the trusting in the Lord. And the text before us this evening tells us that to truly cast their care upon the Lord, there is a requirement. A proud person will never cast all their care upon the Lord. An independent person will never really cast all their care upon the Lord. They may cast a bit of their care upon the Lord, but not all of their care. But our text says, cast in all your care upon him. So what is the requirement to do this? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. You see, if we begin to understand and are taught and begin to realize under the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God how great God is, how wonderful God is, how holy God is, how almighty God is, how all-searching God is, then there is only really one right course of action. To humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, because God resisted the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And if we would require grace to help in time of need, then we need to humble ourselves, therefore, first under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in his time, that he may use you, that he may work his work in your life. But we have to take that first step of humility, of humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And one of the ways that this is evidence in our life is by casting all our care upon the Lord, casting our burden upon the Lord, committing our way unto the Lord, trusting the Lord at all times, ye people, the word of God says to us. So I come back to this first question, really. How do we know that God cares for us? How do we really know? If you were to be asked this question tomorrow morning, amidst all the difficulties in this world that we're facing and all the tragedies, and someone says to you at work or your neighbor says, well, this God that you worship, you tell me, how do you know God cares? Where is the evidence that God cares? And that's really what I want to deal with this evening, as the Lord may help, to encourage unbelievers to trust in him, but also to encourage believers this evening in our testimony and in our witness, how we may witness to people and lovingly and kindly show them that God cares. So how do we know then God cares? Because our text says, casting all your care upon him. So if I cast all my care upon the Lord, how do I really know that he cares for me? What has God shown? What evidences has God given of his care? Well, the first evidence that God has given to us is his creation. A Christian is a person who believes by faith in the very first verse of the Bible. You go right back to the book of Genesis and chapter 1. And in verse 1, wherein we read, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now, billions of people don't believe in creation. They believe in something called evolution. And I'm not expert to go into that area of thinking, because faith believes in God's word, and faith believes in a God who's created this world according to his word. So let's just think of some of the aspects of creation then. The body. God has demonstrated his care for humanity in the most wonderful way, wherein the body is so complex. Constantly new areas of expertise are seen, more wonders in the human body. Fresh discoveries are made which confirm the complexity and the wonder of the human body. And the Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's becoming increasingly recognized throughout the world that our bodies are so complex, so amazing, that they must have been at the very outset the product of an intelligent creator designer, a creator God, who actually has the wisdom and the power to create the universe, the earth as we know it, and the human beings within it. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. But what about creation's provision? Every day we are reminded of the faithfulness of God in creation. The air that we breathe, the daily light, the gravity which keeps us floating up into space, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, are constant reminders of the provision of our Creator God. And ever since the creation of the universe, God as our Creator has ensured that there is seed time and harvest. The farmer sows the seed and leaves it in the ground, dependent upon the sun, the rain to ensure its growth. There comes a time when it is harvested. But it is dependent upon the goodness of our Creator God. What do you think about when you go into a supermarket? What do you think about? You go into Sainsbury's or wherever it is, Waitrose, wherever you go, Lidl's or wherever it is you go, and you look into these amazing supermarkets that are full, absolutely full. Their shelves are full of food. God is telling you every day that He cares. Even in His long-suffering mercy, even though millions of people go into the supermarkets throughout the world, and the night before they have been watching something which is totally anti-God and totally against God and totally in rebellion against God, the next morning they're in the supermarket buying the food. And God is saying, there's a voice speaking, I am the Creator God that cares. The Bible says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. And we read in Acts 14:17, nevertheless He did not leave Himself without witness. This is God's witness. In that He did good, He gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. But then another aspect of creation is the scenery. The beauty of the scenery in the countryside. As you travel on the road, even at this season of the year, the autumn, the leaves are beautiful. A beautiful color. And God is saying, it's God's a voice saying, I care. I'm a mighty God. Do you know, when I was first at Melksham some years ago, and I pastored there, in the one Sunday afternoon, I was walking by the canal, you know, that you have here in Devizes, further back down that canal, and nearer to Seen. And you know, it was a beautiful afternoon, and there was a heron just on the edge on the bank, and there was a man walking in front of me, and he just stopped. And he was transfixed with the beauty of this picture. And as I came up to him, he said, you know, this is awesome. This is so beautiful and still. And look at that heron. Look at the scenery. And he said, there must be a God. And the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament show His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. That God is our Creator, God who cares. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So as we look at creation, behind creation is the invisible God who's created, who is mighty, who is powerful. And so Paul says, even His eternal power and Godhead. But then he said, so that we are without excuse. So the world is without excuse. God is saying to the world every day, I care. I'm providing. You have a witness. Secondly, God cares through the conscience. The conscience is unique to human beings. God's invisible voice within us, reminding us of right and wrong. We call it God's moral law. It is a great and inescapable evidence that God cares. Without the conscience, the world will be an anarchy. And it will be like hell on earth. God is restraining evil. And one of the ways He restrains evil is through the conscience that is in every single human being. Now we may suppress the voice of our conscience by constant abuse, by sin. We might deaden its message. But nevertheless, everyone is without excuse in as much as they have been given a conscience. God cares about humanity, that we should know right and wrong. He has shown he cares by giving us then a conscience. It is written in our hearts. Their conscience is sure proof of this. The Bible says, men and women show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or excusing them in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And so people sit in judgment and they look at a situation, the behavior of a person, and they say, that is wrong. But they never ask themselves the question, why did I know this is wrong? How do I know this is wrong? How do I know what is right and what is wrong? And Paul deals with this in Romans 2:14. He said, you actually are showing the work of the law in your heart because you're making a judgment between what is right and wrong. It's an evidence that God cares, an evidence that there is a God. Do you remember when Jesus dealt with a woman taken in adultery? And these religious leaders, in a very rough and unseemly manner, they drag this lady to Jesus and they dump her down at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said something very profound. He said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And no one could cast a stone. What told them they were sinners? They had a conscience. Their conscience was accusing them. So God is telling us through the conscience that he cares. So there's two things already, creation and the conscience. But the great and almighty evidence that God cares is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him, here in his love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atonement for our sin, the propitiation for our sin. God cares. God couldn't have done more to show us that he cares by the gift of his only beloved Son. God is holy, and he requires perfection, but we are not able to meet God's standards. We all sin and come short of the glory of God, and we all deserve the punishment of God, because God must punish sin. He wouldn't be God if he doesn't punish sin. He has to be, his justice must be satisfied. He cannot compromise with sin. And in that situation, by nature, we are in a helpless condition. But God cares. And in his love, he has sent his only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that lived a perfect life and suffered the wrath of God because of sin upon the cross. He bore the punishment. He died on behalf of all those who put their trust in him, that we might be made right with God. By this sacrifice, he has satisfied God's justice completely on behalf of all those who put their trust in him. The death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the suffering and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, is the greatest evidence that God cares. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich for your sakes, he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. God is telling us through Christ Jesus that he cares. And I ask you this question. What more could God have done to show that he cares than to send his only beloved Son to this world? But then there's another evidence. God cares through the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. The Lord Jesus explained to his disciples that after his death he would send to this world the Holy Spirit. Now, though the Holy Spirit was working in the Old Testament times, he working in the New Testament way through the revelation of the gospel in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to direct people in the truth of God's word, to convict them of their sin, and to lead them unto Christ. It is only God through his Spirit who can convert a person, bringing them from darkness to light. And today, millions of people in this world are testimony to the fact that God cares. Their lives have been transformed. They've been given hope and purpose and inner peace and spiritual joy. And they are proving the Lord, even in the midst of the deepest trial and tribulation, that God cares. And the Lord Jesus, by giving the Holy Spirit the name Comforter, and I'm using this picture language here, would come alongside to comfort and to cleanse in Christ Jesus, helping believers to gain assurance through the promises of God in his word, helping Christian believers to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, when the floodlighting of an historic building is very well done, the floodlights are placed in such a way that you do not see them. In fact, you're not supposed to see even where the light is coming from. What you are meant to see is just the building on which the floodlights are trained. The intended effect is to make visible what otherwise would not be seen in the darkness, to maximize the dignity of the building by throwing all its detail into relief so that you can see it properly. And this illustrates the role of the Holy Spirit. He is, so to speak, the hidden floodlight shining upon the Savior. It is as if the Spirit stands behind us, throwing light over our shoulder onto the Lord Jesus, who stands facing us. And the Spirit's message is, never look at me. The Holy Spirit's message is, look unto Jesus. Look at him. Listen to him. Hear his word. Go to him and know the forgiveness of your sin through the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible says, but when the Comforter has come, this is the words of Jesus, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Many people misunderstand the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of sin, is to lead us to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to teach us the truth of the word which he has inspired. It is to help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is to bring us to the Father through Christ Jesus, to know fellowship with the Father. And so the Lord Jesus said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. He shall not speak of himself. He shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So God is telling us through the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who guides us to Christ, that he cares for you. But then there's another way that God has given evidence that he cares. God cares through his church. The local church is meant to be, under God's plan, a testimony in a community that he cares. Now, the gospel is both the truth of the word of God, and it is also about a caring for one another. There's a practical aspect to the gospel. The first element of the gospel is relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the gospel has a fruit. It should make us like our caring God. It should make us caring people. For if God is love, we should be people of love. If God is a caring God, which he is, we should be caring people. But primarily, God has given the local church and appointed pastors over these churches to preach and to teach and to counsel. We read in Philippians 2, verse 19, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be, you may be of good comfort. That I also, may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." A pastor is a person under God who cares for souls. He cares for people, not only for their spiritual condition, but what they're going through providentially. He is to be a testimony of care and understanding. He is to be an under-shepherd, under the great chief shepherd, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But then the local church, the body, is to be made up of people who have care for one another. That the members, Paul said, should have the same care, one for another. That you care for one another. You love one another. It's very interesting in the New Testament letters to see the amount of times one another is used. If you go into a concordance, or you look up on your telephone, if you've got a Bible on your phone, and just search for one another, and you will see the amount of times one another is mentioned in the New Testament. Constantly binding us together. Constantly reminding us that we are one another, that we're part of one body if we are members of Christ's body. God is telling us through his church that he cares. Ultimately, though, God will show he cares eternally. All those that put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will be given a crown. You know, the resources of this earth are limited. The resources of our body and mind are limited. But the resources of God are infinite. His love and his power and his grace and his kindness and wisdom are infinite. And for all those who put their trust in God, they will find his care, his resources are limitless and abundant, not just for time, but ultimately for eternity. You see, God cares in time and never stops caring, and he will care in eternity. God will never stop caring, as much as he will never stop loving, because that's who God is. And God will prove ultimately in heaven above, through his infinite resources in glory, that he cares. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So we return to our question this evening. Who cares? God cares. And we have considered some of the ways that we can, in which God has evidenced that he cares. And these aspects are part of our testimony in the world in which we live. We can consider them in our mind. We can lock them into our minds. And they all begin with C. And as you lock them in your minds, and people talk to you about, does God love? Does God care? Then gently, meekly, kindly share with that person about God and how he has shown that he actually cares. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him.